Hey everyone, welcome back to Taking Stock. It's been a few weeks and really excited that you're able to join us. For the third time, we're welcoming back Sebastian Valencia, who is the managing partner of Clarkson's management and operations practice. And he's also one of the foremost supply chain experts in the firm. We've talked about supply chain in the past on this podcast with Sebastian. And this go around, we're going to talk about change management, which is a topic, as you know, which is very near and dear to me. And we're going to talk about specifically advanced planning tools and why managing change with those tools is critical for success. So a lot of fun topics that we'll hit upon. As always, you'll enjoy Sebastian's perspective and enjoy the discussion. And we'll talk to you on the other side. Hey, Sebastian, welcome back to Taking Stock. How are you?
Hey Steve, thanks for having me back.
Is this number two or number three?
Think it's number three. Two by
All right.
myself, and I shared I think one of the originals with another partner. So number three.
Right. So I think we'll get you a jacket. We'll see you next week, and I'll see if I can bring you a jacket. You're now part. I think you might be the initial member of the three-time club. So
That's
congratulations.
awesome. Proud.
Not sure. We'll figure out a way to celebrate. So, I'm excited to chat with you about a topic. So we're going to talk about kind of supply chain from a macro perspective, but also a topic that you and I both are really passionate about, and that's kind of change management and really the intersection of the two. Before we get into the change piece of it, I want to get your thoughts around when we think about supply chain, and we've talked ad nauseum on this podcast about how so much has changed over the past few years. But I want to kind of focus in on purely from a supply chain perspective, what are two or three of the macro trends that you see that are really forcing companies to deploy either new systems and or processes to meet some of those supply chain challenges?
Yeah, this is critical topic, and we've been living through this for the last 24 plus months. So I'll start with the volatile supply chain is whether it's geopolitical drivers, whether it is climate related, pandemic related, but the unpredictability of the supply chain has been just significantly disruptive. If we add that labor shortages, so you don't have the parts, you also don't have the people. And then if we start getting back into some type of new normal, you add on top of this the inflation pressures. So at a moment in which the world thought, okay, it's time to invest in supply chains, this is important, we need to build and create buffers. We can't be as lean as we have been in the past. Then you have inflation pressures, and we're back into cut, cut, cut. And this has supply chains and executives all over the world being pulled in so many directions and putting the supply chain at the center of every conversation.
Yeah, so I totally agree. And I think I've always struggled with the investments that companies have gotten, like you said, to be as lean as possible. Yet these are invariably publicly held companies that need to also drive towards, profitability and kind of bottom line results. And, there's, a little bit of a, a battle there between the two. All right, so if we think about, right, so these some of these challenges that you referenced, it's forcing companies to invest in new systems, invest in new processes, like you referenced earlier. And whenever you think about investing in new systems and processes, you think about change, right? You think about the tactical, I'm going to be working within a new system, right? And what does that mean in terms of the way I work? What does it mean in terms of roles and responsibilities and how those might change? What does it mean in terms of accountability, KPIs, processes? There's so many different things that are, you have to take into account. So when you think about a change management approach, again, you and I have talked about this, it has to take into account all of this, right? You need to think about a holistic change management strategy. And you did a really good job recently in outlining kind of five different lessons that I thought were really, really impactful. And I wanted to, if we can, step by step go through those. The first one you talk about, which is this idea of integrating new technology, or importing new data isn't the biggest implementation challenge, right? It's the people. So talk about the people side of change and why that is so critical and how companies need to be successful.
Yeah, it's part of every change, every initiative. It sits at the center is the people who end up buying into it, using it, leveraging and accepting the reason for change. So when we work with a lot of our clients in supply chain systems implementations, the technology is an element, the data that drives that technology is critical. But at the end of the day, the users from executive down to the planner, they got to buy into this burning platform, the reason for change. They need to be willing and fully bought into stepping away from their glorified Excel spreadsheet and willing to put the time and effort to adopt new processes, new ways of working, and understand that the not only the results that potential tools will give them will be different, but their role will be different, and they need to be excited about it and willing to go through the whole valley of despair, learn, accept that they're going to learn new things, and embrace the change that is in front of them. So it starts with people, ends with people, and the success of any supply chain implementation associated with technology is the people.
Yeah, and I've always thought when, in my experience, organizations in communicating kind of the why as it relates mm-hmm. to a new system implementation in particular, too often they think about it from the organization's perspective and the benefit that's going to be realized for the organization. I think the most effective approach is really to look at it from the individual users, the individual person's the benefit that they're going to be realized. How is this new system, new processes going to make that individual user's life easier? How is it going to help them accomplish their individual goals? Mm-hmm. I think as organizations, there's a lot of talk around how this is going to drive increased ROI for the business or how this is going to drive greater efficiency in the business. But the more that you're able to get granular and focus on the individual user experience and the benefit for that individual user, I think you'll be that much more successful.
Absolutely. I think, Steve, you're spot on. I think sometimes you got to connect with the overall strategic objective of the company and their intent for implementing a system, but you got to drive it down to what it means to the day in and day out planner and how they use it. So it starts there.
Yeah, spot on. All right, so the second lesson, according to Sebastian Valencia, which I really enjoyed, is this idea of the displacement of cause and effect with an advanced planning tools requires more focused change management efforts. So now let's get into some of these advanced planning tools require a greater level of kind of discipline and focus. So talk a little bit about your thoughts there.
Yeah, the advanced supply chain planning tools present this unique conundrum. Organizations are pretty used to transactional systems, ERPs, SAP, in which you perform a task in the system and you generate an invoice, or you perform a task in the system and you create a purchase order, like immediate cause and effect. The user is acting and the system is reacting, and there's no displacement of time. What advanced planning tool, they're planning by nature, and you're forecasting, you're predicting, you're allocating demand into the future. So there's a intrinsic displacement of the action of the user and then seeing the results of those plans and predictions happening over time. And a lot of times we run into clients that expect, oh, go live is tomorrow. Let's make sure that tomorrow we're still able to ship. And I'm like, but we're planning. This is your forecast. This is your supply plan. You're doing your S&OP. Tomorrow is not going to be the big event. Tomorrow is the initiation to start building your projections, your forecast, which are going to be months out. And that displacement of cause and effect has a different approach to change management to get to the users and ensure that the fear of the change lives on for a prolonged period of time instead of that magic time of the go live. So it's unique, it's different in it requires a different approach to change management to be able to get to to the users, to the executives, and understand that there's a displacement of cause and effect just by the nature of this, of the tool.
Yeah, I fully agree with the point around the too often companies think about go live as the ultimate destination. Mm-hmm. And in actuality, it's really just step one,
yeah,
right? And the value of any system, whether it's an advanced planning tool or otherwise, it's going to increase over time. And the tool grows as the user's capabilities grow. But too often companies think about change management and training as just, let's get us to go live and then we're good, let's move on. Right. But how do we think about it more from a sustainable long-term learning and development mindset?
Absolutely.
All right. Lesson number three. You talk about running old planning tools in parallel with new technology is a safety blanket that does more harm than good. Talk a little bit about that. I know it's something that companies often struggle with when you've got old systems and transitioning to the new systems. And what does that cutover look like? And how long do you keep old systems running? So talk a little bit about your thoughts there.
Yeah, this is one of those, not because you can, you should. Your supply planning tool, again, is not as your ERP as the central system of record. So it makes it very easy to keep whatever parallel legacy planning tool you have in place online or running in parallel while you start planning in the new tool. So because it's easy and because you can do it, it doesn't mean that you should. The theory behind it as well, and just the in practice, if your new tool is giving you the same answers that your old tool is providing you, you wasted your money.
Right.
So having two tools and trying to confirm and contrast and be able to confirm that your new tool is giving you good results is pointless, because it shouldn't be giving you the same numbers as you were getting in the past. And with all joking aside, as part of change management, one of the most difficult clients I had in the past, we ended up having to have a burning ceremony of the spreadsheets, the printouts, and have a ritual of we're literally burning the ships and we're embracing the new tool. And the new tool is going to give us different results, but they're going to be better. They're going to be more accurate. They're going to be more detailed. And there's a ton of other capability and functionality that we're going to get that this old Excel spreadsheet or this other planner is giving us. So that's an extreme. I wouldn't recommend having burning ceremonies before every go live, but definitely recommend against having this parallel running of tool.
Yeah.
For a continuous for even any period of time.
Yeah, I love that. I always laugh, quietly laugh, when you hear key business stakeholders talk about how they want new systems to replicate Excel.
Yeah.
Right. Like, well, why are you investing millions of dollars to simply replicate what you've got in Excel? And that's hard. Again, that's a huge change management thing, because there's a huge comfort with old technologies, which brings us to lesson number four, this idea that relinquishing control and trust in the technology is difficult for supply chain practitioners who are accustomed to in the weeds work. This, I totally would, any system you see, you see end users who are, partially because I think they're holding on to their jobs, mm-hmm. right? They feel as if it's going to, but what are some thoughts in terms of how you get people to relinquish that control, trust the technology to do the work that they're used to doing on their own?
Yeah, so there are two pieces on this one that are pretty evident. I think that there are a lot of supply chain practitioners that come from operations, and they've been successful by putting out fires and being the heroes. Being the hero goes against planning, because if you plan well, there are no fires to put out, and then you're no longer the hero. Planning, mm-hmm. if everything happens according to plan, is boring. And letting go of that situation is critical. I think there's a key element from leadership to ensure that you acknowledge that a lot of the users are struggling with the fact that they're no longer going to be the heroes by saving the day and by going through heroic means and finding the goods and finding you the inventory. but they're going to be the heroes because we don't have to go through this heroic meat. The second part of it is, in the past, a lot of our clients have very archaic planning tools, and then it forces the planner to have to touch every SKU, to plan every customer, to plan every channel, and touch one by one by one. And the investment in an advanced planning tool changes the role and moves them from automation where possible, and then allowing this planner to use all their intelligence, all the business savviness into all the exceptions, new product launches, entry of new markets, starting up a new customer. And that's where their value is going to be. So from a change management perspective, being able to help them see the future and the evolution of their role from letting go of touching every SKU and now focusing on the most critical future elements of the company, new product launches, new entries, transition of customers, they're going to be embracing the change because they now don't have to go through the tedious touching everything. They're going to be strategic in where they devote their time.
Totally agree. However, not to play devil's advocate, but I do believe that organizations need to then make that investment in those users to ensure they have the skills to adapt to their new roles. 100%. And not necessarily new roles, but what's required of them in their new roles. Because often what you're taking is someone who is used to being in the weeds, used to doing a lot of that manual work, used to being a hero. Now you're challenging them to think in a different way, mm-hmm. to behave in a different way. And that requires investment, that requires your training, and that requires development. And I don't think organizations do as good of a job of that as needed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it needs to go beyond the clicks and the drags with the mouse and the new tool. Is the expectation of, yes, you know how to operate the tool now, but how do we help you derive the insights and the recommendations and even bring it to the right meeting so your insights are being used and actionable?
Yeah. All right, lesson number five. And this one I really like because I've had a lot of experiences where companies have literally like shut down the forecasting engine of a tool. And it's like, again, what's the point? But as you stated, the less you rely on the system, the less effective it becomes for you. And again, this gets back to like, hey, why are we investing the millions of dollars mm-hmm. using the system? But talk a little bit about this lesson.
Yeah, it's a decision point of, do we want this tool to go through a virtuous cycle or do we want it to be a vicious cycle? So the tools require investment of time. I think we talk about that on probably across all the different lessons that we already cover. And you'll be confronted with new results that come out of this magical algorithm tool. And mm-hmm. you have two options. You either ignore it and start relying less on the tool, or you invest some time in trying to understand, is it picking up bad data? Is it elements of the forecast that I need to go and correct? Are we extending a promotional event that we shouldn't have considered? Are we getting bad history on a specific time and I need to go and make those adjustments? Is there a different statistical forecast tool that I need to use? That time investment, if you put it in, it will be a virtuous cycle because the next time is going to be better, it's going to be easier, and you keep on relying on the tool. If on the other option, you decide, well, I'm just simply going to ignore it today because I don't trust this number and I'm going to override it, you'll find that the next time you're going to overwrite more. And as you said, Steve, you'll end up abandoning the tool because you didn't put the time and effort in adjusting the math, the algorithm, and the statistics that is behind this massive engine that is advanced supply chain planning tool.
Yeah, I think it's well said, Sebastian. I love the five lessons. I love the simplicity of them. And ultimately, I think you would agree that what's going to drive success for any company considering deployment in an advanced supply chain planning tool, it's less about, like you said, the points and the clicks, and it's about the people. And change management often gets undersold. Mm-hmm. It's an afterthought. And for companies to be successful, they really need to consider lessons like these.
Absolutely. I think the key is it's it can definitely drive a supply chain in a company's transformation. Starts with the people, with the proper change management, the investment will pay off.
Awesome. Sebastian, thank you as always. I think you've earned an invite for a fourth go around at some point, but thank you as always.
I'll bring my jacket. Thanks so much, and it's great to be here.
Talk soon. See ya. Thank you. All right. Thank you, everyone, for joining. And thank you, Sebastian, for your participation, as always. You know, I should not have mentioned the three-time jacket to Sebastian, because I have no doubt that he's going to hold me to that. So I'll need to be creative. Anyone has any ideas in terms of how we could celebrate Sebastian being part of the Three-Timers Club, please pass them along. You know, I hope Sebastian didn't take it the wrong way when I mentioned how much I enjoyed the simplicity of his lessons. I meant that as a compliment. And I think it's a great way to kind of think through those simple lessons and the nuances behind them. But I certainly believe what he was referencing when he talked through why people, the people portion of change management is absolutely critical, and how it's so much more than just the points and clicks within the tool. And I thought he did a great job of walking through that. Specifically as it relates to advanced planning tools. So thank you again, everyone, for joining. Thank you for your engagement and participation, as always. And we'll look forward to seeing you on a session coming up real soon. We'll talk soon. Have a great day.